Good morning. How are we? We doing okay? Good. Everybody just looks a little bit cold this morning, but it's great that you're here on such a lovely day outside. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And we're going to be reading from verse 9 this morning. Verse 9. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the other around him asked him about the parables. He told them that the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" You remember, if you were here last week, we read the parable itself, the parable of the sower. And he says in verse 14, "The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. He said to them, 'Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Consider carefully what you hear. He continued, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." Let's bow our heads, let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your word. And we pray now that you will come and speak to us through your word. That anything that is from me will be taken away. And that all that is left will be from you. And so, dear Father, we pray that we will have hearts that are ready to listen, to really listen. In your name's sake, amen. Well, this morning we're in the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, once again. If you weren't here last week, indeed, even if you were here last week and weren't listening, wouldn't that be ironic if you were here and weren't listening, really listening? Then last week we saw Jesus getting into a boat, using it as a pulpit, because there were so many people coming to hear him that he got into a boat, pushed it back from the land a little bit, and he preached to them in parables, taught them in lots of different parables, not just this parable, but lots of different parables. And in the previous chapter, we saw that Mark had been painting a picture for us of the different responses that there are to Jesus Christ, wildly differing responses. Some people have fallen at his feet and declared him king. Some people are kind of indifferent, don't really care. And then there are some people who actually want him dead. Wildly different reactions. And it was we read in that parable a kind of explanation, if you like, as to why there are those different reactions. A little bit of an explanation of why people respond differently to the message of Jesus. Why some people will sit here lots of times listening to the message of Jesus and be completely unaffected by it. And some people who will come in for the first time and have their lives completely transformed. There are those, you see, who for whom the message just bounces off them. They hear it. They see and they listen to what Jesus is doing in terms of miracles and everything he does, but it just bounces off. There are those, we saw that they kind of start well and are dead excited, and it's very exciting, and it's tremendously exciting, and then they wither and die because they don't have any root. Then there are those who take the seed in, but they produce no fruit. Nothing grows. Nothing really changes because life kind of takes over them. The deceitfulness of wealth, cares of the family, basically anything that takes your focus away from Jesus Christ. And so we were invited in this parable to see ourselves in it, to think about which soil are we. But you see, this parable is even more significant than that. Because the disciples come and they say to Jesus in verse 10, tell us, why are you talking in parables? Not actually asking, incidentally, for an explanation of this parable. They're just asking, why are you talking in parables? Why are you using parables? And so Mark records here for us an explanation that Jesus gives of this parable that helps us understand all the parables, the reason why Jesus speaks in parables at all. I've asked Paul if he's going to put up for me, if he can, a little cartoon. I don't know, hopefully you can see that. You'll be able to see this as a political cartoon. Always dangerous to go with a political cartoon in case you offend somebody. So if you're American here today, I apologize, particularly if you like George W. Bush. Interestingly, some of you will look at that political cartoon and you will find it slightly amusing. You'll look at it and you think, yes, I get that. I understand it. Some of you will look at it and think, I didn't know that was George W. Bush. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was the White House. I didn't know that it was, in fact, George W. Bush's depicting his last day in office. On the left-hand side, it says failures, bin Laden, Iraq, Afghanistan, rest of the world, the economy, the environment. And in successes, it says, dodged that shoe. Now, for some of you, you're looking at me blankly. I think this will, which is good, actually, because this will illustrate it even better. Some of you are thinking, what on earth is that picture all about? What does it mean? Right? I mean, some of you will look at it and go, well, it's just a nice picture and that. It's quite well drawn and it's nice and there's a old guy looking at a board, and you won't see anything more than that. But you see, if you want to get the meaning of it, you have to dig. You have to do a little bit of research. You have to go and know that when George Bush was in Iraq, someone took off their shoe and threw it at his head, and he definitely ducked out of the way, and it missed him. Incidentally, the guy still got arrested for that. You have to know that politically, from a satire point of view, the person who's written this is saying that George Bush's presidency was a failure. That he did lots of things that he shouldn't have done. That's what they're saying. See, there are different levels to what this picture means. You can look at it and go away and not really understand it. See the same thing, but not really understand it. Two people can look at it, 10 people could look at it and see different things represented by it. I have a second picture. I think that's up there. No, you're shaking your head. This was just to make you laugh, this one, actually. The caption, by the way, says, "Bummer of a birthmark, Hal." So a kind of idea of that sort of, you know, you have to know that it's a bullseye. You have to kind of understand that animals get shot and so on. It's just my favorite Far Side cartoon, and I couldn't resist. But it kind of reveals that same idea that the parables from Jesus serve, to some extent, the same purpose. You see, this is a story about the sower and the seed that puts the responsibility on the listener. That's why throughout this passage, if you saw it, it says it time and time again, be careful how you hear. We didn't read verse 3, we read it last week. Verse 3, listen. That's what Jesus says, listen. Verse 9, if you have ears, then use them. Verse 23, consider carefully what you hear. Pay careful attention to how you hear. Really listen. You see, the parables are uniquely suited. They're uniquely designed to reveal how you are listening. To reveal whether you really do have ears that you're using or not. When I was growing up in Sunday school, the parables of Jesus were often explained as nice little stories. The kind of things that kind of made you feel good about this guy, Jesus. Actually, the more you read them, the more you see yourself in them, the more uncomfortable the parables become. Because they operate on more than one level. They reveal something about the person who's listening. Many, many years ago, a man went to a king, and he told the king a story, just told him a little story. It's quite a nice, if sad, story, really. It was a story about a poor man. And he only had one sheep left, just one sheep that he loved. And he loved this sheep. And the sheep went everywhere with him. Everywhere he went, the sheep would follow. And he just loved it, almost loved it as if it was a child. There was a rich and powerful man in the same town. And he had visitors who were coming for a meal. Coming for a feast. Now, being a rich man, he had lots of sheep, so he could have taken any of his own sheep, but he didn't want to do that. No, he decided that he was going to take this man's sheep, his only sheep. He would take them, and he would kill the sheep, and he would eat the sheep. And when the king heard the story, he was raging. He was absolutely furious. How dare that rich man take that sheep? How dare he do that? That guy, actually, he deserves to die. There's injustice has been done. There's punishment must be made. Some of you will know that that story comes from the Old Testament, comes from 2 Samuel, where Nathan the prophet spoke to the King David. And it was a parable. It was designed for David to see himself in the story. In fact, that was exactly what Nathan made sure he did, because Nathan said to him, "You are that man." David, you think, by the way, that you're bad? You think you're not a great person? David committed adultery with his friend's wife. Couldn't hide it, so he had his friend killed. I will take your badness and I'll raise it. I'm pretty sure there isn't anybody in here who has done all of that. And yet God could say, "You're a man after my own heart." Why? Because you see, when it came to hearing the parable, he listened. He saw himself in the parable. And you know something? It's my role as pastor to make you see yourself in this parable. And let me say to you, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, I said it to some people after the service last week. And someone said, "You know, it was a good sermon last week." And I said, "Well, you know, it's interesting because you see all the reactions. Oh, they're all there. Balcony included. All the reactions are there, guys. Some of you just bounced off. And I'm not daft. I know. My job here, by the way, is not to entertain. It's not to make you feel good on a Sunday morning, although sometimes that'll happen. In this passage, it's to make you see yourself. It's to think, how am I responding? And in no small part, that's why Jesus told parables. Why? Because it sifts out those who are really seeking, really desiring, and those who just don't care. So when you come to church, when you come to your small group, when you come to YF, be careful how you hear. Now, for those of you who have been paying attention, I guess you will have noticed that there are some disturbing verses in what we read this morning. Verses 9 to 11, I'm not going to read them to you again, but it seems that Jesus is saying that everything is being done in secret, that there's a plan to keep people from getting it, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving. That the parables are just a way to keep those on the outside out, and the explanations only kind of given to a special few people. Well, you see, the reality of what Jesus goes on to say, particularly in 21 to 25, is that if you have a heart that isn't interested in seeking God, that isn't interested in pursuing Him, then you'll never perceive it. You'll never see it. You'll never turn and be forgiven. But there isn't some great hidden secret. Let me read to you verse 21. Jesus tells another parable that makes clear that the light is not to be hidden. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." That's a rhetorical question, by the way, from Jesus. Is that, if you've ever wondered what a rhetorical question was, that's what it is him saying, if you light a candle, and that's what they would have done in those days, if you light a candle, go into a dark room, you do not put a bowl over the candle, right? Okay, it's a simple thing, it's not a complicated thing, but the reality is that you let the light shine. And Jesus is the light of the world. He's saying here, you don't hide it away. I'm not hiding away. The light is here. You can see it if you want it. It's there. Years later, Paul would stand in front of the ruler of the land, Festus. And this is what he said. Paul is preaching the gospel. He's giving a big licks, if you want, in front of Festus and probably a big crowd. And this is what he says. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You're out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I'm not insane," Festus, Paul replied. "What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king knows these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner." "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." This is Paul saying, none of it, not Jesus' death, not his resurrection, not his miracles, not his teaching, none of it was done in secret. And I love this next bit in the story, because Festus really starts to feel the heat. The squeeze is really on. He says, "Do you think that in such a short time, Paul, you could persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul says, "Short time or long time, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today become what I am." Hear the word listening again. For all those who are listening, that they will believe. That the light has been made known. It's all out in the open. It's not an intelligence test. Doesn't matter how clever you are. It's an invite to dig deeper, to seek, and to find. And you'll need faith. You will need faith, because you see, to the ordinary person, without faith, well, the life of Jesus just seems like a sad story. Just a pointless irrelevance. Some of you are thinking it. It's what the parable says. Some of you will look at Jesus on the cross and just think, what a failure. What a failure. But through the eyes of faith, we who pursue Christ, you see him as your King, as your Lord. You see the cross as the greatest moment of victory, as a rescue. The parables don't hide any of that. They reveal what way you think. But then finally, Jesus tells us a final parable. It's in verse 24, a little tiny parable. He says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. It's one of a number of little kind of pithy parables that Jesus used in a number of different contexts throughout the Bible. You can pick it up in various little contexts. But there's a core principle at work here. Now, periodically, those of you who know me, periodically I try to get fit. And I go out and I run and I do 5 and 2 and all sorts of different things in an attempt to try and get fit. There are other times, this would be one of them, where I winter well. I spend a lot of time on the couch eating things that I shouldn't eat, and things, well, they go bad. Things do not do well. I don't seem, actually, to be able to stand still in that sense. I don't mean physically stand still, although I probably can't do that either. But in terms of my fitness, I'm either using my muscles, I'm either out running and being able to run further and further and further and further, or I seem to go backwards pretty fast. Sitting on the sofa, the muscles slowly just fall away. And in my case, although not in everybody's case, in my case, it turns very quickly to fat, which is just magic. Bottom line is, if I work hard, I get fitter. And if I don't, then I don't. And there's something of that in this little final parable. What you put in is in some way related to what you get out. In other words, if you come to church, you can't really be bothered. You're only really here because it's a nice social place to come, or because my parents made me come. Then you won't get anything out of it. If you never read your Bible, if you never seek to learn, then you won't magically grow. Just like me sitting on the couch, I won't magically be able to be fit the next day. And through the grace of Jesus, when we put in effort, it's not an exact thing. We get even more back. It's not in that you get out what you put in. You get even more. You get grace. And that all sounds great. I get even more back than what I put in. But here's the rub. Because verse 25 is really serious for us as individuals and as a church. Basically, it says, use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. What you have already been given will be taken away. That means that even the understanding you have got will be taken away. You can't stand still. Let me give you one final illustration to make that point. And I know that you know what this is like. If you go out this week and you resolve to speak to somebody in your work or your social circle or whatever, and you go to tell them about Jesus Christ, to sow the seed, then if you actually follow through with it, your faith increases. That's what happens. You will be bolder the next time. You will grow. You'll develop. The next time it won't be quite so hard. The next time it won't be quite so hard. But you see, if you never put your faith in action, then it just becomes harder and harder. And then you just decide, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Why bother? I can't do that anyway. See, we exist, by the way, as a church to spread the seed, to make Christ known. That is the job. That's the calling. Not just of the pastor or the elders, but of everyone. To make Christ known. It is time to use it or to lose it. And it's serious, serious stuff. Because the reality is, some of you come here every week. It's nice to see you. Have a laugh. It's good. But unless you're growing, unless you're using it, the risk is that you're going to lose it. And it's, you know, this is not some secret that we're supposed to keep to ourselves. We have this amazing life-transforming thing. Those of us who believe in it, we have this amazing life-transforming life that comes from Jesus Christ. We're not a secret society. We're a place that exists to take it out. To use it or lose it. Let's bow our heads, let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you even when your word is hard, even when it is difficult to grapple with, even when, perhaps especially when, it makes us see things in ourselves that we would rather not see. When it makes us uncomfortable, when we simply want to run away and hide. Dear Father, we pray that you will plant your seed deep, deep into our hearts. That it will bear fruit. We thank you that you're a God who longs to bless us, to pour out your blessings on us. Measure upon measure to overflowing. We pray, Father, that we will be people who use what you have given us, who proclaim the glorious gospel that you have given us. For your glory. Amen.